Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. How many ate too much? Raise your hand. Some people are lying in church. It's all good. I hope you did enjoy a few days of rest and some food. And I hope you were able to gather with at least a few friends and family. If you're watching on the live stream, happy Thanksgiving to you all. Again, glad to have you watching as we enjoy church here at Open Door. We are in Revelation 21. Revelation 21. I want you to imagine with me, and we have to use our imaginations as we study the end times. It's very important to do so. God gave us the gift of imagination because when we think about the eternal heaven, that's where our imagination will eventually become reality as we enter into a place that is so incredible, beyond anything that we can see or experience here. But do this with me. I want to have you imagine that I gave you a gift, an early Christmas gift, and it is the ultimate vacation destination, all right? Anywhere on the planet, and you get a week there, all expenses paid, all right? The ultimate vacation destination. Raise your hand when you've got it already in your head. You spend a week there, all right? Still half of you, raise your hand when you got it. Everybody got it? All right. Now, all expense paid, ultimate vacation destination. How many of you chose a beautiful city somewhere in the world? Raise your hand. Rome, Paris, all right, one of the great cities. How many of you chose like the ultimate beach vacay, crystal clear waters, by an island? How many of you chose some sort of mountain escape? You're out in the middle of nowhere just enjoying a mountain. All right. And the others of you, I have no idea. The mall, where? Downtown Raleigh. I get it. Anybody, your backyard? Anybody? Okay, we got a backyard. Amen. All right. Your future destination, the eternal heaven, will actually be all of these things. A glorious city with the Ancient of Days residing there with you. Beautiful mountains where you can just see almost the entirety of this new heaven from its distance. Beautiful waters and streams and everything that you can imagine what the most glorious destination would be. Heaven will be just so much better. It'll be the most glorious, the most brilliant, the most beautiful, the most perfect of places. And you will enjoy heaven forever along with your Creator and along with our Savior and along with all of the saints. And there's something more. And this is going to be something I want you to chew on. It's going to take more than just this morning for you to chew on this. You will add to its glory. In heaven, you will add to its glory. Now, here's my question. How much glory are you going to bring into heaven with you? How much glory will you bring into heaven with you? Revelation 21, verses 10 through 27 teach us this lesson. Our eternal heaven will be completely filled with the radiant glory of Jesus Christ, the brilliant glory of His eternal city, and the beautiful glory of His people. That's going to be heaven forever. It'll be filled with the radiant glory of Jesus Christ, the beautiful glory of his ultimate creation, the New Jerusalem, and the beautiful glory of his people, the church. And if you're born again today and a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a part of his church. You will be a part of heaven's glory. But I want you to be bringing a lot of glory along with you when you get there. And so let's consider this today as we look at what Jesus told his disciples when he said, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And in my Father's house is going to be a lot of space, a lot of rooms for us to dwell. So let's now read along with John's vision as to what Jesus is preparing for us. Revelation 21, beginning in verse 10. Let me read down through verse 21. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and a high mountain. And there he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem. It was coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. It had a very high and great wall with 12 gates, and at the gates were 12 angels, the names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east and 3 gates on the north and 3 gates on the south and, of course, 3 gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now the one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its wall. The city is laid out as a perfect square, and its length is as great as its width. And he measured the city with a rod, 1,500 miles, its length and width and height are all equal. And he measured its wall, 72 yards wide, according to human measurements, which also are angelic measurements. The material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, and the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, and the sixth sardius, and the seventh was chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, and the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th with jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates had 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, just like transparent glass. John the Apostle is now getting the last and the most glorious of all of the visions that he received when he wrote down what we know as the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And John heard from God himself declare, it is done. Finally, God's redemptive work was accomplished. It was done. And John now is catching a vision of the grandeur and the glory of God's completed and finished work. The old heaven and this old earth have passed away. Now all things have been made new. This present universe passes so that God might resurrect it and completely scrub it clean from every stain of sin and corruption to present to now his Son and his church a glorious new beginning. It'll have no ending. It'll be heaven in all of it. Its radiant glory. And so John in verse 10 is carried along by the Holy Spirit, knowing that whatever he writes down must be faithful and true. These are the words of the Spirit of God himself. And John is carried now to this very tall mountain, so tall that he can see from all directions. And then he sees something he had never seen before, not even in all of his previous visions. Down from heaven comes a city. And I mean an incredibly massive city. This physical structure, in all of its perfect brilliance and beauty, descends down upon a physical planet that we today call Earth. We'll call it the new one later. Down it comes. Until it finally rests itself on the new earth. And as John watched this city that he describes as the holy city Jerusalem, it's a city of God, the city where the king dwells, God's man dwells there, he reigns there. This is Zion of old, now resurrected, Jerusalem now new and forever. It came down, and John described it as having God's glory. It's the very best description that John could make. And then one of the most powerful of all of heaven's angels, one of the angels who held one of the seven, the last bowl judgments that were poured down upon the earth as God was pouring out his wrath upon this sinful world. One of those angels said to John, "Hey, let me give you a tour. Let me give you a tour of the city." And he showed John all of its brilliant glory. Actually, there are four words to describe this amazing city, the New Jerusalem. Glory, brilliance, purity, and presence. That's how we are going to enjoy this new heaven. John saw it as glorious, because God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit dwell there. That's what makes it glorious. And the new heaven will be glorious because the very glory of God will fill every square inch of that place forever and ever. The new heaven will be glorious because every person, every saint, every creature that will be there forever will also be glorious. And to some extent, you're going to bring some glory into it. And you will then be glory upon glory forever. The best way to describe the new heaven is glory. But also we can describe it as brilliant. The new Jerusalem will be brilliant because it will be constructed, verse 12, by the precious and radiant gems of God's creative brilliance. Jasper and gold and pearl and so many of the precious stones of God's creation. It'll be brilliant and beautiful. It will radiate the glory and the light of God. The New Jerusalem will be brilliant because it will be massive and perfectly built. There's something to architecture when it's just beautiful in its construction that we all kind of go, wow. And the larger the brilliance of the architecture, the more we tend to go, wow. Whether it be the natural architecture of God's universe or the physical architecture that gifted human beings create, sometimes we just stand back and we go, wow, and I've been so blessed to be so many places all over the world, and I can't tell you of the hundreds of times where I've just gone, wow. Whether I'm looking at the beauty of the earth and its natural brilliance, or I'm looking at something that was constructed and I just go, oh my, it's brilliant. The New Jerusalem will be brilliant because it will be so massive and so perfectly built. It will be brilliant because it will have perfect dimensions. Literally, you have to imagine the most holy of places that God told his saints of old to construct in the tabernacle and in the temple. The Holy of Holies, this pure, perfect cube, the same length and width and height, inlaid with gold and angelic and having the perfect instruments and so much that God said, I'm just gonna place my toe there on occasion. I'm just gonna rest my big toe there from time to time just to let you know I'm here with you. I know you can't see and I know you can't be there and only the high priest can enter, but just know. And this perfect little golden cube, I'll be there. Well, listen, friends, in heaven, the New Jerusalem will be this massive, perfect cube. And the very fullness of God's glory and the presence of God, the Father, Son, and Spirit will be there forever with us. This will be a brilliant place. I don't know if this is a literal dimension or a symbolic dimension. I imagine it will be quite large if we take these measurements, which are the same, John says, as ours, as the angels measure, then it would be around 1,500 miles long and wide and 1,500 miles tall, which in the current earth would put it two more layers above the atmosphere. I mean, you couldn't take an elevator. You'd need a Wonkavator to be able to travel around this thing. Some of you didn't get that. In our history, we describe the wonders of the world. We always describe them as the seven wonders of the world. There's seven wonders of the ancient world and seven wonders of the modern world. And you know, there's the hanging gardens of Babylon and the pyramids at Giza and the Great Wall of China and the incredible city of Ephesus with the statue of Artemis and then the seven wonders of the modern world, both natural and buildings like the Burj Khalifa. Which is about a half a mile tall, this incredible structure, 163 floors, this incredible building. Well, the New Jerusalem would be 3,000 times taller. Today's estimation would have about 800,000 floors. I think there's enough room for us, by the way, just in the city, and then, of course, outside the city, there's so much more. Again, in today's estimation, it would basically fill the United States from the very border of Canada down to the border of Mexico, from our Appalachian Mountains to the border of California. That's a good-sized city, don't you think? And the irony of this to me is when you think about the Tower of Babel, right? And this is where sinful humanity thought they were going to construct a new Jerusalem. This is where sinful humanity thought they were going to build a building that would impress God, that this building would be so tall they could simply at the top of it just walk into heaven. In the estimation, it maybe was around 400 feet tall. No, John, he saw a city that he only could describe as glorious and brilliant. But another word that we must use to describe the new heaven is pure, purity. The New Jerusalem will be pure because God will only use the purest of materials to construct it. The metals and the gems will be so pure, it will be as you can see through it. I mean, how pure can a metal be that you can actually see through? How pure can a gem be where you can actually see through it as if it were transparent like glass? Perfect. Pure. They say the purest of gold would be 24 karat gold. I've never been able to see through it. And so, I forget, don't buy 24 karat. To me, the 10 karat stuff looks just the same, right? No, the most purest of golds today won't even compare. The most purest of diamonds, they say, is 140 some odd carats. It won't even compare. Nothing will compare because we live in a world of impurity. Impurity. That's what defines us. That's why I couldn't right now stand before God. I'm too unholy right now. I'm too impure. And so are you. Still too much of the old man, too much of the old nature, too much of my flesh still impure. And I know God, he desires for us to be holy because he is. In heaven, I'm going to be pure. You're going to be pure. And we'll be pure along with the walls of the city and the streets of gold and the precious gems that this building is constructed upon. It's just going to be pure. Every impurity will be removed. Now, part of the glory that I want for us to bring into heaven are what Paul described as precious gems. Pure and precious gems. If any man builds the foundation of his life, Paul says, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, upon Jesus Christ, right? Build your life upon the foundation of Christ. And if you would love him and obey him and imitate him, then your life's foundation will be built as if it were being built with gold and silver and precious gems. But there's also what Paul describes as wood and hay and stubble. And in the end, at the final day, every person's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because in the end, at the judgment seat, every person's work will be revealed by the fire of God's judgment. Paul says, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Now, there's two things here. One, there are things, deeds, behaviors that you can do that God would equate as precious gems to him. Gold and silver, precious gems. There's a way to love God and to love others. There's a way to do that, even now. That one day, as you stand before Jesus, he will say, you know what? These things take with you into my heaven. When you thought that, when you felt that, when you performed that, these things, well done. Now you take these things with you. And let me just refine them as you enter into my glory. Now, there's a bunch of other stuff that the Bible just calls wood, hay, and stubble. You're not taking that with you. And that's all going to get burned up from here to there. Why? Why would you focus so much time and energy on wood, hay, and stubble? Why would you do it? Why wouldn't every day your desire be, God, may this day be filled with what you would consider to be gold and silver and precious gems? And Father, please help me not to store up on this day wood and hay and stubble. Please consider that. The eternal city will be glory, and it'll be brilliant, and it'll be pure. But maybe another word, maybe the best word to describe the new heaven is the word presence. Presence. The eternal city will contain the presence of God the Father, his Son that John describes as the Lamb, and his Spirit. The eternal city will contain the presence of all the Old Testament saints. Do you see how on the borders of the city, 12 gates, all given the name of one of the sons of Israel, the 12 tribes, John saying that all the saints of the Old Covenant, all of them will enter into the city. And did you recall that the saints in the new covenant as well, representative of his 12 apostles, laying the foundation of this great and glorious city? All of the saints of old and new, we will all be present there with our God. And there we will be, God in all his glory, this new Jerusalem in all of its brilliance, and our presence and the glory that we will bring into it. And what will we do forever and ever? Well, we will do all things good and glorious. What will we do? All kinds of things. All kinds of things. The city will be an incredible place. There will, of course, be architecture and there'll be art, and there'll be culture and music and competitions, and there'll be opportunities for us to use our gifts and our giftedness, and we will work, but we will want to, and we will rest because we will want to, not because we need to, and we will just do everything everything that God had in his perfect mind for us to be and to do. And we'll love him. And we'll take so much delight and pleasure in just being there with God. And as we sung, our joy in him is what will give him pleasure and bring him glory. I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to enjoy life eternal with my God in his perfect creation with the church. The Lamb's precious prize. Now, in verses 22 through 27, there are some things that won't be in heaven. We've looked at the things that will be there, but now let's consider some things that will not be there. And I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun. There's going to be no temple. There's going to be no physical sun or moon to shine on it. For the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. Verse 24 is one of the most important statements in the book of Revelation. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. It will always be daytime, verse 25, because one thing that will be, again, absent from heaven is darkness. There'll be no night there. And then there's another thing that won't be in heaven. No locks. You won't need to lock anything. The gates will never be closed. Verse 26 is a repetition of verse 24, showing the emphasis and the importance of it. The gates will never be closed, and they, that's talking about us, and those of us from all over the world, and they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And what else won't be there? Nothing unclean. And no one who will sin. No one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those and only those and only you if your name is written in the Lamb's book. If you are his people, and he is your Savior. Yes, there are words that also describe what will be absent from heaven. No temple, no sunlight, no darkness, no sinners. We won't need a physical temple because God will be there with us. And Jesus, he said, destroy this temple, I'll rebuild it in 3 days, and he did. That's the main reason why, by the way, I believe heaven is real, because Jesus said it is real, and because Jesus said, if you kill me, I'll come back in 3 days, and he did. If Jesus can do that, he can prepare a place for us in heaven. Oh, it's going to be a real place. We won't need a physical temple. We won't need to bring blood sacrifices to it. Not at all. Oh, you see, God said it's done. It's done. All the sacrifices that have needed to have been made. And then we don't need a place where God hides in the Holy of Holies. No, the holiness of God will be everywhere, and we'll see it. We'll see it. And there'll be no need for sun either, right? Because the glory of God will illuminate the new heaven forever and ever. We don't need a sun that shines for a while and then for a little while the moon has to do its best to just reflect some light and upon us. We won't need that anymore. There won't be any more darkness. Only light. And it will be the light of God forever and ever. And light, the light of Christ, will flood heaven forever and ever because he is light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will simply have the light of life. No darkness, no night, nothing that will be able to hide sin. The gates will always be open. We won't need anything to protect us from evil. All of that will be cast into hell forever. And finally, what we will see happen in heaven is that we will watch the nations who are walking by the light of Christ and the leaders of these nations who belong to God, they all will enter into this city and they will, as John says, bring their glory into it. And I've been chewing on this for a long time. What does that mean? That the nations will bring their glory into heaven. Here's what it means. When God says, it is done, he's also saying, I have completed my mission. I've completed my mission. Now, what was God's mission? Well, he reveals it in Genesis and most clearly to Abraham when he said to Abraham, I'm going to make an agreement with you, Abraham. Believe in me, and one day I'll make you the father of many nations. I'll make you the father of peoples from all over this planet. Paul described the church as the answer to that dilemma. How could God do that? And one day the church will be complete, and it will contain peoples from all the nations. It will contain people from all over this planet that Christ has saved and redeemed and claimed as his own. And one day we will all simply walk through the gates. People from East Asia and Oceania and Russia and Africa and the Middle East and Europe and Africa and South America and North America, and we're just all going to walk in. We'll still have our skin color. We'll still have our personality. We're just going to be us glorified, and it will be beautiful and glorious. And all of the righteousness that we performed on this earth, we will bring that as glory into heaven. We will be a part of heaven's glory. And that's why, until that comes, we as a church must remain on mission. We got to remain on mission. We've got to keep telling people that heaven is real and so is hell, and Jesus has provided the way. We've got to keep telling people the simple good news of salvation by faith in Jesus and forgiveness of their sin. We've got to keep telling people that and invite people in to this beautiful body we call the church. We got to keep on mission because God is still on mission until God says it is done. And he hadn't said it yet. I don't care if there's pandemics or disasters or crises. It doesn't matter what's happening. We're still on mission until God says it is done. That's why we haven't taken a break as a church. It's not done yet. And we must continue to send and to go and to give so that we can be a part of fulfilling this mission. We remain on it because we want to fill heaven with the glory of the church. We want it to be of peoples everywhere. Yes. And so now it's the holiday season. And it'll be an interesting one. And I want this to be, as we try every year to explain it, a season of giving rather than a season of getting. Please do that. And if you would just heed the words of Jesus, if you want to bring glory with you into heaven, this holiday season, do what Jesus said and store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where nothing on this earth can destroy them. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin cannot destroy or thieves cannot break in and steal. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart. Now let's do this. Let's begin now storing up those treasures of glory in heaven. Let's just continue to be the church on its mission. Let's do something crazy. We've had an incredibly challenging year. Let's end the year strong. Let's meet our budget goal so that we can continue to send and support those that are planting churches and doing missions all over the world. Let's continue to fulfill the needs for our mission and our ministries here in this community. Let's give like we've never given before. Not be afraid. Let's serve. Let's actually find opportunities. There should be many this year to love God and love our neighbor. Let's store up treasures in heaven. You know, the one thing that we will not desire in heaven is wealth. One of the things I'm looking forward to is that wealth not being an important commodity in heaven. That may be the main thing that results in wood, hay, and stubble, by the way. Your desire to accumulate stuff that will simply be corrupted and be destroyed. Now, I think the greatest commodity in heaven will be glory. And that's what I want you to store up, beginning now. If you're able to go on that final destination, and it will be a perfect place. Now we've been given just a glimpse of it. And it'll be glorious. It'll have the glory of God's presence. It'll have the glory of Christ's protection. It'll have the glory of the city's perfection. And it will have the glory of each and every saint. And that includes you. Let's pray. Father, forgive us for not realizing that now is when we are to be storing up glory that we will enjoy forever later. Father, forgive us for all of the wood and the hay and the stubble that most of our days are focused on, and you could care little or not at all about them. And Father, for those few brief moments where we do love you and love others, that we imitate you and follow in the steps of Jesus, Father, for those moments, thank you. Grant us all the more so that we will store up glory forever and ever. Father, thank you for the church. And thank you that one day your church that will represent peoples from all over your planet will pour into this new city. And on that day, oh, how we will rejoice and sing and praise and worship you and enjoy each other's fellowship forever. Father, keep us on mission, please, until it is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.